If you can't tell, I just forge ahead on anything I got on my mind. And those two back there always interrupt me. And I go right back to it. So we're going to do that again this morning. You know, the underlying theme in this passage is really twofold. One is the grace of God, and one is service. Paul begins with the grace of God and then turns to service. First, Paul wants to remind his readers and us that we have received the mercies of God, God's grace. And as a result of that, because we have received God's grace, we should present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, which is a spiritual service of worship. In the day of Jesus, a group that he was probably a part of, at least for some time, believed that anything you did should be done like an act of service to God. That whatever it is you put your hand to, you did it as best you could and with great cheerfulness, because it wasn't for someone who hired you, it was for God's glory. Even to the point that they stressed that if your job was to clean out horses' stalls or donkey stalls, or you know what kind of job that is, don't you? That it should be done for the glory of God. Present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. How we live. Because God has filled us with grace, we must also live by standards that the world does not believe in. We must have a different kind of mindset. A mindset fixed upon the way of God, the will of God. Not on the way of the world. The way of the world is to take and take and take, and take. The mindset of God is to serve. We serve God because God sent his Son to serve here on earth and provide a way for all people to become one with God. Worship is service. That's what being in church is about. Worshiping. And being the body of Christ. When the choir is here, the choir doesn't sing to hear themselves or to receive applause at the end of their singing. They come to worship God. They lift their voices in worship to God, and they hope to carry us along so that we too worship God. The songs that we sing together is not for us to hear ourselves sing. Rather, it's worship to the God who gave us his grace. Our prayers are worship, and a response to God's outpouring grace and seeking for God to continue to pour out his grace and have mercy. The sermon is not for the speaker. It's an act of worship. Service to the body of Christ to build up and lift up the body of Christ. Being in church and participating in worship is an act of service, which God expects, from which we draw strength and inspiration. Here comes the problem. Paul goes on to say that God has allotted to each one a measure of faith. He doesn't say to some. He doesn't say to certain called individuals. He doesn't say to special blessed ones. Paul says to each one, God has allotted to each a measure of faith. The faith we have in God is actually an act of God's grace. Without God's grace, we can't even believe. We cannot will ourselves to believe. It's God's grace, something He does for us. God gave us grace, otherwise we would not be part of the body of Christ. We are here because God called us to believe and called us to be disciples. We are part of the body of Christ because we've accepted that call from God. Sometimes we only think ordained ministers are called. That's not right. You can't find it anywhere in the Bible that says they are the only ones called. We are called. And we are all part of the body of Christ, yet we do not have the same functions. We are all different. God made us different, and He called us. He did not call our impersonation of Jim Steele. He did not want our impersonation of John Villers, Judd Bracey, Michelle Moore. Love to have your talent, by the way, but I ain't got a shot at it. Diane Wright, Cheryl Wolfe, Sarah Connor. God did not call you to impersonate anyone. God called you to be you because He saw you for who you are. Paul then writes, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace of God has given us, let each exercise them accordingly. Paul's talking about our service to God and to the body of Christ, to use the gifts that God has given to each of us. Then Paul lists prophecy according to his faith, if service in serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortations. In other words, Paul is simply saying, do what God called you to do. Doing what God has called you to do is, first of all, obedience to God. It is also an act of worship to God, and an act that strengthens the body of Christ. This is also the area that causes problems. Whenever discussion comes up to gifts, I always hear people say, I don't have any gifts. Okay, I want you to pay real close attention here. If someone says they have no gifts, someone is lying. Okay, so be careful. Either you are lying or you're calling God a liar. Ponder that for a moment. God does not lie. Therefore, if you have received the grace of God, if you've heard His call on your life and you have faith in God, then God has placed His grace in you, and God has given you gifts to be used as acts of worship and acts to uplift and build up and strengthen the body of Christ. And this has always been a problem for the church. 1 Corinthians, Paul turns back to this, to rephrasing them again for another church. First one was to Romans, this one's to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries. That's also the word service, by the way. And the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Oops, there's that all persons thing. That means you're covered. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. If you've heard the call of God, if you've received the grace of God, you have God-given gifts for you to use in the body of Christ. Now, it's not just Paul's thing. Peter writes in his first book, the fourth chapter, as each one has received the special gift, there we go again, as each one has received the special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Why do you have them? God gave you grace. And he expects you to use them and gave you the grace to be able to use them. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We always look at preachers and prophets as people who've been gifted by God and who serve God, but we are reluctant to see ourselves as being called to serve. Look throughout the New Testament, and there are even places in the Old Testament the same thing is said. We have been given gifts by God. And who serve God because God has been gracious to them. I want you to look at Romans and also Corinthians and even Peter. The idea of service, serving God and serving the body of Christ. Unlike all those other terms, prophecy and healing and miracles, and serving is an open door. It has no particular definition. It's service. Whatever gift God has given you is yours to use. And in every text that has to do with gifts, there's always this idea that you have them because of the grace of God and are to be using them for the glory of God. whatever that gift is. It's broad. It's limitless. It is as varied as there are individuals in this world, because God saw each of us as an individual. There is no excuse for an idle believer. God has something for you to do in the body of Christ. You have gifts given by Christ. Now, granted, you may not know exactly what they are, but you have them. How do you know what they are? Paul says you exercise them. In other words, you try something. You do something. You pray and seek guidance into what you should do, where you should go, what God wants. God will reveal them. And when someone comes and asks you to do something for the body of Christ, before you say no, consider it. That yes may open a door to a gift that you had no clue you had. I didn't. Sorry, I'm getting dry. I was not a Christian when I went to college. The last place you go to find God is at college. I'm not lying, am I? It was precisely at college that God grabbed me. And there was a Christian fellowship group there. And someone told me I had to let people know that I'd accepted God. So I went to that Christian fellowship group and told them. That was either the greatest decision I ever made in my life, or God kicking my butt into the sanctuary, or just blind luck, because they accepted me and hugged me, even though probably 3 weeks before, very few of them, except for this one particular person, would have had very little to do with me. And immediately someone came up to me and handed me this little book and said, "Congratulations, next week you're a Bible study leader." I didn't even have a Bible. I had to go to the dorm and go to the guy down at the front desk that checked your internet back then. Everyone checked in and checked out. Nowadays, you just run in and out as you want. Back then, you checked in, okay? And asked him for a Bible, and he handed me a Gideon's. He didn't have one either. In time, I bought my own. I was absolutely clueless. And I've been teaching ever since. Don't say no. Say, "I'll try it." Because you don't know but that it was God acting in that person to reveal to you a gift. Every believer is called to believe. Every believer is given the grace of God. Every believer is part of the body of Christ. And every believer has functions to perform for God and for the body of Christ. Notice I said functions. There are multiple ways of serving God. There are multiple ways of lifting up the body of Christ. What are your gifts? How are you serving God, who showered down blessings of grace on you? Let us pray. Gracious Almighty God, we thank you that you are gracious, and that you pour out your grace upon us, that we might believe, that we might have faith, that we might walk after you. We ask, Father, that your grace continues to work in us, that you show us our gifts, the ones for now and the ones yet to be revealed, so that you may receive glory and honor, so the body of Christ may be built up, and so that we will be able to worship you for the great gifts that you have given to us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.